You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Growing up in North Carolina, I saw a lot of pickup trucks on the road. This is true also in Texas, and I've heard in Alabama. And one of the great things about pickup trucks is they give one a great canvas on which you can display your identity to the world through bumper stickers. And one of the bumper stickers one saw most often in those days was one very large, emblazoned often on the rear window of the cab that said, "No fear." Do you remember these? They seem to have fallen off in popularity, but maybe they've gone to therapy. But at that time, it was big to say, "No fear." And I have known enough people to know that that is a lie, that everybody is afraid of something. Which is why in the third quarter of this year, I've partnered with some investors to launch a new brand called HBS, Honest Bumper Stickers. And you will find in retailers near you our products to really display the truth of who you are in the spirit of transparency, which is so common at this time in our national life. So the first two, one will say, "I fear being alone," parentheses, "I sleep with the TV on." And then the other one, and this has done very well in focus groups, "Deeply insecure," parentheses, "honk if you can tell." People carry a lot of fear in their bodies and in their minds all the time. And I want to talk today and tomorrow. These are two sermons on fear, this reality that we have. And I hope to maybe dissect it a little bit and get some help from the scriptures about it. And the first sermon, the one today, we're going to look at everybody's favorite passage from Genesis 43. And then we'll talk tomorrow about Mark chapter 4. The sermon today is about fears that are inside, things that we are that we live with, that we carry internally. And tomorrow I want to talk about the fear of external things. And so let's read. I'll begin with this passage from Genesis 43, verses 1 through 15. "Now the famine was severe in the land, and when they had eaten up the grain that they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, 'Go again, buy us a little more food.' But Judah, his son, said to him, 'The man, Joseph,'" which is, by the way, I'm letting you know who the man is. It doesn't say that in the text. "'The man solemnly warned us, saying, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' Israel," their father, "said, 'Why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother?' They replied, 'The man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, Is your father still alive? Have you another brother?' What we told him was an answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down'? Then Judah said to his father Israel, 'Send the boy with me and let us be on our way, so that we may live and not die, you and we and also our little ones. I myself will be surety for him. You can hold me accountable for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice.' Then their father Israel said to them, 'If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry them down as a present to the man, a little balm and a little honey, gum, resin, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the top of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight.'" Bear with me, we're almost at the end. "Take your brother also and be on your way again to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he may send back your other brother and Benjamin. As for me, I am bereaved of my children. I am bereaved." So the men took the present, and they took double the money with them, as well as Benjamin. Then they went on their way down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Here endeth the lesson. What you see here is people in a great deal of fear. And as I've said, many of us carry fear with us at all times inside. The Cold War Kids is a band out of California. They all went to BIOLA, the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And at BIOLA, they sort of lost or began to question their faith and put together a band. And in 2017, one of their lyrics was, "What if all my decisions are fear-based?" I think many of us make decisions out of fear because we live with it all the time. Many of it's wrapped up in secrets that we carry. People will find out what you're actually thinking. You're afraid that they'll find out what you're actually thinking, so you keep that sort of in a vault inside. People may find out about a part of your life that's compartmentalized, you know, the credit card you have that no one knows about. People might find out about your enormous collection of My Little Pony figurines that's in the basement. Sorry, Craig, secret's out. Someone might find out about a section of your past. You would be surprised how many people you know or are connected to people you know that have an early, brief marriage that no one knows about. You keep this thing hidden. Often it's a thing, families have rules about this. There's things in your family that no one talks about, you know not to talk about. There was never a meeting to decide these are the things we don't talk about, but you know. We don't talk about Uncle Steve. It's just off limits. Because this fear is sort of based in what will people think, a fear of rejection, people's reactions. So you keep this locked down. If you came to the Ash Wednesday service here, there is something called the Litany of Penitence, where it's this long confession of sins. And one of the things that is confessed is our dishonesty in daily life and work. And this, to me, is not meant the little lies we might tell here and there, but is really the base level of hiding, that we don't let people know what's actually going on because of our fear. This dishonesty is a way of hiding. So Genesis 43, why in the world did I pick a rather obscure to many Old Testament passage? It's a story that is about a family dealing with a lot of secrets and a lot of fear that they have been carrying for a very long time. There's a prequel, a backstory to what you heard today. I'm going to walk through it and then bring you to the scene we saw, and I think hopefully have something helpful to say about the fear that we carry and some relief. So we begin with this father, Jacob, or Israel as he's known, with his 12 sons. One of them was named Joseph. All the other brothers hated him. To be fair, he was kind of an obnoxious overachiever. And so they did what often happens when there's sort of one sibling who is the bane of the others. They fake his death. No, they do. You don't, but they do. They sell him into slavery in Egypt, ultimately. And they fake his death, and they tell their father that he has died tragically. And this is important, because this is where all these brothers essentially make an agreement to have this secret. We're all going to keep this secret. We're not going to tell our father and mother what we really did, and we all have to keep this secret together. If you've ever had a family pact for secrecy, it binds you and begins to distort you, and it lives with you. Every family gathering or holiday, it's there. And this begins to take root in the family. Can you imagine what it would take to watch your father grieve the death of his beloved son when you know he's actually alive? You know what's actually happened, and this is something they live with their lives, this fear of being found out. So this fear takes root, the secret takes root. Joseph does end up in Egypt, and he goes through hard times. Ultimately, it's a rags-to-riches story, and ends up essentially running the country. Meanwhile, back in Gotham City, Joseph's hometown, where all the brothers are still living and keeping the secret and holding their life in this fear, there's a famine. Now, Egypt always has food because of the Nile. And so when there's a famine, that's where you go to get food. And so Jacob/Israel, dad, sends his sons, 10 of the brothers. He keeps the last one home, Benjamin, his sort of darling favorite little, the one that is actually Joseph's brother, same mother, and he keeps Benjamin home. And again, the significance here is this indicates his fear, because the trauma that's been perpetrated by the brothers, the secret they're all carrying, has also caused this great fear of additional loss. The brothers are scared of being found out. The father is scared of additional loss. And so everybody's acting out of this fear. So Jacob, Papa Jacob, says, y'all go get food in Egypt. I'm going to keep Benjamin here with me. He won't go on this trip with you because I'm so afraid to have another loss. So they go to Egypt. They introduce themselves to this government official who, unbeknownst to them, is their brother Joseph. And they call themselves this way. We are 12 brothers, the sons of one man. We live in the land of Canaan. The youngest is now with our father, and one is no more. One is no more. It's a half-truth. This one is the one that they sold into slavery and faked his death. One is no more is a convenient way of sort of telling the truth, but not really telling the truth. You know, when somebody goes to rehab and one has to tell other people why that family member is not coming to the 4th of July gathering, you know, one is no more. She's on a trip. These sorts of ways we describe things that are partly true but not really fully true. And that's the fear acting on them. Now, Joseph, I'll sort of cut to the chase here. He puts them in prison for a little bit, and they react by saying this, surely we're being punished because of our brother. We know what we've done. If you are carrying a secret and something of something that you regret, something that you have guilt for, the normal psychological reaction when anything bad happens to you is to think it's because of the thing you have done. If you have an unresolved shame. It colors the way you see your whole life. As someone in ministry who will sometimes hear confessions of people very late in their life, there are burdens they have carried for decades, and they're certain that whatever negative in their life is going on right now is because of that thing that happened when they were 18. And they're saying, surely we are being punished because of our brother, that thing we did a long time ago. Joseph ultimately releases them from prison, gives them food, and says, one of you has to stay back here, and if you ever come back again, you need to bring that one brother that you left at home, you need to bring him too, because Joseph knows that this is his flesh and blood. He wants to see him. And they try to pay him for the food. He puts the money back in their bags. That was that whole thing that you heard about the money in the bags. And anyways, they go back home with their food. They run out. They delay going back, because they know if they go back, have to face this man again, and he said, don't come back unless you bring your little brother. Finally, the scene that you got to today is this family meeting about, we want to go back, we need to get food, we've delayed, we're running out, it's really at the end, the crisis is here, we have to go back. And Jacob, the dad, doesn't want to. He doesn't want to lose his son Benjamin. He doesn't want more loss in his life. And the brothers are facing this crisis moment. They know they've done this bad thing. They're carrying this secret. They have great fear of it coming out. And they are now having to go back to this person who to them is the judgment for the thing that they have done and not really resolved. They're afraid. This is the moment of reckoning. I don't know if you've ever faced a moment where the truth is about to come out. It's terrifying. There are whole industries of people who manage the response when a scandal is about to break. And that's the moment that's happening here. This crisis. And you see the way that this fear, this secret that has driven this fear, has impacted this whole family for years. They develop a way to talk about the secret without actually saying it. One is no more. Jacob is unable to release his son Benjamin, his favorite, because the loss has been too great and he's afraid of other loss. Often if you have a parent who suffered a loss, or a person, their whole life begins to be structured around avoiding any future pain. this bad thing happened to me once, and so I'm never going to do this thing again, and my whole life is one of avoiding risk. And the brothers, the fear drives them to delay going back to get food for their families. They're risking death. This is something you see a lot when someone has gone to the doctor for something that they know is wrong. They've put off going, and they have tests done, but they get a call from the doctor saying, "We've got your test results. Please call back." They can't leave it on the phone because of HIPAA or something. So you have to call back and get the results. And doctors say that 30% of patients never actually call back to get the results. Because I'd rather not know. Because I might have to confront the reality of mortality and death, which is what Lent is for, so welcome. But these brothers, they're running out of food. They delay going back to Egypt. They won't face the reality because they're in this sort of denial mode. So here's what I want to say. This is where I really want to land the plane and then get you to your sandwiches. This story reveals what secrets and fear do to individuals and to families. But what the story also shows, it ends, the passage we read ends with this cliffhanger. They go and they stood before Joseph. This is the moment of truth. This is where it will all come out. And if you read ahead, you'll find that Joseph, in a beautiful, tear-jerking scene, reveals who he is. All that was hidden comes out into the open. And he forgives his brothers, and they embrace, and they weep, and the dark, secret, hidden thing is all brought into the light, and that is ultimately their salvation. The truth comes out, and in that moment, grace follows, and everything is transformed. I wish there was a way to get to transformation without that. You know, it's painful. It's the worst. Usually it's two DUIs and a divorce, and then you finally tell the truth. Metaphorically speaking, not you. The podcast and radio show This American Life in 2008, episode 368, Putting the Cart Before the Porsche, told a story of a perfect family in Virginia. The father was a lawyer, the mother was a homemaker, the three children were above average. The father and mother had matching Porsches. The children all had to go to cotillion and etiquette classes. Everybody they knew had a swimming pool. It was a perfect life, but it also was one full of secrets. The father's temper, the mother's anxiety, the constant dread and demand of having to perform and be perfect all the time. And one night, when the youngest child was 12, they had a family meeting in the den, and the father said, "I have something I have to tell you. I have been stealing for years." As it turns out, he was a trust attorney, and he had developed this trust from which he had been taking funds to support their lifestyle. And his daughter had written them a letter from college, his older daughter, saying how much she admired him and what a great lawyer he was, and she also wanted to be a lawyer and be as great as he was, and this broke him, and he had to come clean. And the wife had come home and found him in the fetal position, weeping. And then they had the family meeting. And the father turned himself in. He was disbarred. He became a paralegal, essentially. The mother had to work. She was then a janitor at their church. They had to move to a smaller house with no pool. The truth came out, and it transformed them. The woman, the daughter, now an adult, told the story, and she said, "I went from a house where you were always worried about Dad's volcanic temper erupting to a house where everything was fine. The kids could sort of do what they want, and there was laughter, and there was joy, because all the pretense, out of the wreckage, the rubble, the ashes, finally the truth was out. And the whole emotional temperature changed, because people could now just be who they were. No more compartmentalization, no more hiding, but who they actually were." What I want to say to you is every family represented by every person in this place is like Jacob's family, with the secrets and the fears and all of that. Some of you are on the other side of the secrets coming out. You've been through this and you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you're still in progress. Maybe you're both. But what this story shows is sort of the undeniable reality that the truth will come out, but that by God's grace will be your salvation. As our Lord said, the truth will set you free because God is a God of grace and God is a God of truth. God lives in reality. To the extent that you're not living in reality, you're far from God. But when you come into reality, you find that God is there. And just as Joseph's brothers found that the one who had been enslaved and imprisoned was ultimately the one who saved them, so we find that Christ is the one who, though we crucify and kill him, he is the one that saves us from sin and death, and therefore is the one to whom we can actually come and open our hearts and open our secrets and open who we really are and find grace in our time of need. The third bumper sticker in the collection that we release in the third quarter of 2024 from honestbumperstickers.com will say, "The truth shall set you free." Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.